I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up in Back Talk, we'll hear what you had to say about our stories this week. But first, it's time for our weekly political chat. Next Tuesday, important state and local elections will take place across the country. The gubernatorial elections in New Jersey and Virginia are drawing particular attention for what they may or may not demonstrate about any lingering Obama effect on the electorate or about how the Republican Party is regrouping in the wake of last fall's losses. But there are two local races that caught our eye, namely the mayoral races in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia. In Charlotte, a black man has an even chance at becoming the second African-American mayor of that majority white city. In Atlanta, a white woman is poised to break a more than 30-year string of black mayors with strong support from African-American voters who are the majority in that city. To talk about these races from their respective cities, we've called Jim Morrill, political reporter for the Charlotte Observer, and Corey Dade. He is an Atlanta-based correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. Welcome to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks, thank you, Michelle.
Corey, you wrote in a recent article that Atlanta is the cradle of the civil rights movement, and an African-American has led that city for over 35 years. But now you report that Mary Norwood, a white candidate who lives in a wealthy white section of the city, has a strong lead going into the November 3rd election. You say what's most striking is her level of support among African-American voters. An October 16th poll shows nearly a third of African-American voters supporting her. Tell us what's going on.
Well, Michelle, if polls are indeed any indication, I think in the city of Atlanta they are, Mary Norwood has certainly consolidated a good amount of black support. I think that's been the most sort of eye-popping development in this race for many people. She has been about constituent services. She represents the city at large. She doesn't. She's not beholden to one particular district. And so as a result, she has, for what it's worth, an enormous amount of energy. She's known as being sort of frenetic and just high-paced all the time. And so she has used that to literally crisscross the city, even before she got elected, to build that kind of relationship in delivering constituent services. And I think that is now the fruit of her labor is coming home today in this election. And I think it's something that either candidate has not been able to counteract yet.
She's got two or three African-American contenders on next Tuesday's voting.
Right. She has two main contenders, two so-called leading contenders, the city council president, Lisa Borders, and a former state senator, Kasim Reed, who's been a longtime political operative.
And why is it that they haven't any traction? I mean, because Kasim Reed's very well known for, you know, so he ran Shirley Franklin, current mayor Shirley Franklin, leaving office after two terms, ran her two campaigns. She was very well liked. I mean, had some tough decisions in a difficult economy. But why do you think he isn't doing better?
Well, I think part of it is the sort of the double-edged sword of being a political operative who's not public. He has done both in that, as you said, he has run campaigns before. He's been a chief fundraiser for different candidates, and he's also held political office. But when you're a legislator for the state, your profile isn't as large, especially in Atlanta. The most high-profile politicians are the mayor, period, sometimes a city council member. And so I think he's still relatively young. He's 40 years old, and I think right now he's in the process of trying to transition out of that mode of being kind of a policy wonk, someone who has done a lot of work with power brokers, with stakeholders, with other elected officials, but in transitioning into someone who actually is in the communities, making his name and face known. Mm. That's been a leap for him.
So Jim, let's turn to Charlotte. You wrote that Democrat Anthony Fox, who's African-American, and Republican John Lasseter, who is white, are waging Charlotte's most competitive mayoral race in nearly two decades. And it's important to point out that Fox wouldn't be Charlotte's first African-American mayor if he is elected. But what are the dynamics of this race?
Well, it's interesting. He would be the first Democratic mayor since Harvey Gantt, African-American mayor since Harvey Gantt 20 years ago. The dynamics are that we're coming out of a time when our 14-year incumbent, Pat McCrory, who's a Republican, is not running again. So it's the first time we've had an open seat in a long time and the first time that any Democrat's been really competitive here. You got to remember that Barack Obama won the city of Charlotte by about 30 points last year. And so it's generally a Republican voting town, but that kind of caught everybody by surprise. And Anthony Fox is trying to build on that.
Now, you reported on some testy exchanges between the two candidates on local on topics like property taxes. But has the subject of race come up, either explicitly or implicitly.
No, it really hasn't. Not by the candidates. It's been a really civil race compared to most races we see anymore. Both candidates are you know, pretty restrained, pretty respected now. In the last couple of days, things have started to heat up. Some of the Democratic Party is weighing in with some mailings on behalf of Fox, criticizing Lassiter's ties to developers. But the candidates themselves have been pretty even keeled through the whole thing.
And Corey, what about in Atlanta? I know that, understand you reported on apparently a letter that was distributed by somebody encouraging African American voters to consolidate around one of the African American candidates, and that apparently did not go over well. But what about apart from that? How has race played out?
Apart from it, it hasn't played out. Apart from Memogate, as we call it, it hasn't played out as much. I think that in Atlanta, race is an obvious subtext to everything about politics, and I think that the fact that that memo actually had a backlash effect, a reverse effect, in that because that memo was so frontal and invoked race before any of the candidates did or any of the issues or circumstances in the election did, I think a good deal of voters, black, white, or others, felt like it was bad form. They thought it was premature, and I think that at this point, voters are standing back and saying, okay, I'm going to look at the candidates regardless. And I think there's a misconception that, this being an African-American city, of course, that African-Americans will sort of knee-jerk vote for the black candidate, when in reality, black Americans and certainly black Atlantans have a history of voting for white candidates just by sheer numbers.
Well, what about the reverse? I mean, the idea that white voters will knee-jerk vote for white candidates. What about that idea?
Well, I think in the city of Atlanta, they haven't always had that luxury. Mm-hmm. You have not had, since Maynard Jackson won in 1973, you have not had a serious white candidate challenge for mayor. And I mean a serious white candidate. You've had maybe a couple here and there. So as far as their choices for mayor, white Atlantans have always had choices of African-Americans running, and they've had to vote or not.
All right. Wall Street Journal Atlanta correspondent Corey Day joined us from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta. Jim Morrill is a political reporter for the Charlotte Observer, and he joined us from Charlotte. Gentlemen, thank you both.
You're welcome. You.